Good evening. This is Susan Gingrich, the herb lady. I'm in southern Ohio, and I've got to tell you, we've got every kind of precipitation you can imagine. And I'm driving home, and the fields here are so flooded that they're rising up to meet us as we go. I've never seen it like this. We've had such weather this month.
Well, that sounds like just where I am, Susan.
Well, you're near where the school collapsed, aren't you?
Yes, I am about 45 minutes away.
Wow. Is everything okay down there?
We've had no damage here, but it's just been heavy weather, heavy rain.
We've had fog, we've had snow, we've had ice. It's all just been great fun this month, hasn't it? Okay, so tonight what we'd like to talk about is several things. I've had a lot of clients come in asking about fibromyalgia. And last Saturday we did a big herb conference near Fort Wayne in Bluffton, Indiana. We just had a great turnout. We had 70 people there. And fibromyalgia was a topic that a lot of people need to talk about because a lot of people are going on hurting these days. So that was kind of what I'd like to talk about tonight. And then Thomas is going to be presenting at an herb conference in Birmingham. Is that right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
This coming Saturday, expecting an even larger crowd there. And he's going to be presenting on a topic concerning the virus, the vaccine for the 12-year-old girls concerning cervical cancer.
Yes.
So he is kind of going to try it out on us tonight.
Hopefully.
So are you ready to start on that, Thomas?
No. Good. Let's go ahead and talk about fibromyalgia a little bit.
Okay.
Let me see if I can pull these files up.
Alrighty, fine. So fibromyalgia is something that's become very common. I first dealt with it myself about 10 years ago, and it seemed at that point to be something that hits women just about midlife, you know, just somewhere around the late 30s, early 40s, and women were getting it more than men. And it's a situation where the muscles become very, very tender, as though you've worked out, but even if you haven't worked out a lot, there's a great deal of pain involved. And I've heard several theories that, first of all, that there's malic acid missing in the stomach, in the muscles. Also, we found that magnesium helped me a great deal. But to go to a root cause of that, one of the issues that seems to come up with most people with that type of pain is the liver. And the liver is kind of an underlying culprit to the situation. We often see with it something like a chronic fatigue, and you've heard the word chronic fatigue syndrome or CFS, which has become sort of a catch-all for anything that causes fatigue. And one of the problems with this diagnosis is that it means whatever it means. Nobody really can nail what the underlying cause of that is. It's just that it's like, you are a camel, and the final straw has broken your back. And we don't know what your final straw is, but there seems to be a toxic overload in the system. And whatever it is that you've accumulated in the system over time is what is finally, you know, the one last thing that broke the camel's back is what you'll notice. And in my case, it was a root canal. I think that was the final shove. There was also my husband taking on some new medications, and women will get the side effects from their husband's drugs because they're very skin permeable, and we are very close to our guy, you know. So we are going to be taking on that extra chemical load. You also got situations where you have to understand that the hormones are converted in the liver, and so hormones will go off with a situation where the liver is compromised like that. The liver is an extremely important organ. It does 500 to 600 things in the body, maybe even more than that. Thomas, what have you read on the liver?
Yeah, 500 to 600. Well,
yeah,
it can perform up to 500 or 600 functions. It normally doesn't have that many, but see, the liver makes up for what the other endocrine organs don't.
So okay, so it pinch hit, in other words.
Yeah.
Right. So it's real busy taking care of things like converting estrogen, so it has a role to play in a hormonal situation. Also, in the liver, you create cholesterol, and cholesterol or essential fatty acids then are the base also for hormones. So any hormone in your system is dependent on your liver to be able to convert and help to create that. So the liver would also have an effect on the thyroid, which turns around and regulates your hormones as well. And it is where you produce CoQ10, which is what keeps your heart in good shape. So the liver has a real strong connection to every system in your body. It also has a general function of cleansing the blood or clearing out all the chemicals that come through. And if it gets gunky, it's sort of like the filter in a car. If you let it get gunky, then you're going to have everything running like it's on sludge. So good liver function keeps your whole body perky, just up and running and not sludgy. The kidneys also contribute to that blood purification process. And with a sludgy liver, then that's going to spill over into the kidneys, too, in that it gives more work for the kidneys to do. So keeping your liver happy is a very good idea. And one of the first things that I did was a bowel cleanse, which included a liver cleanse, which helps to flush out the gunky, fatty, even calcified deposits that can occur in the liver. And that made a huge difference for me. It was called Taihi Cleanse, and it includes a lower bowel cleanse, a Chinese liver cleanse, and there's a product in that cleanse called All Cell Detox, which is a cell purifier. It cleans at the cellular level as well. So it's a total body cleanse, and it sifts out the junk in the liver at the same time. Within about a week and a half of taking that, the pain in my shoulder went away. That had been there for 2 years, just in a constant tight, knotty throb. It was just a constant, like an icy ache that just wouldn't go away. And I noticed one day that it was finally missing. So that was one of the major things that you do with this whole situation. In Nature Sunshine, too, they have a product called Fibralgia, which is for fibromyalgia. And it has a very absorbable magnesium with a malic acid in it, which has been found to be missing in muscles like with fibromyalgia. One of the things that I noticed with it was that at the time I was diagnosed, the doctors in my area seemed to feel that this was something in a woman's head. And all I could get for it were prescriptions for Valium. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I remember thinking, no, I really want to get well, and I'm asking for help here. And I was really discouraged with that kind of an attitude that, A, I was a woman, and this had to be all in my head for some reason. And they didn't know what to do for it, so if they couldn't cure it, then I had to be making it up, I guess. But I'm not sure. I think that's still a pretty common attitude.
It is.
And I'm seeing it now more in younger women and men as well. And I just saw a woman today who's 71 who has all of the symptoms of fibromyalgia as well. You want to take off and comment at this point, Thomas? I've been doing all the talking.
The fibromyalgia, I think, is definitely happening younger and younger. And the most common prescription for fibromyalgia is an antidepressant. I mean, you know, they're talking about Prozac and Paxil for fibromyalgia because they still think it's all in your head. I know that Kimberly Ballas participated in a double-blind placebo-controlled study of fibromyalgia, and the funding was to research St. John's wort for fibromyalgia, because once again, they still think it's in your head. So they actually let her choose the placebo, and she chose black walnut as the placebo, and it outperformed both St. John's wort and the prescription drug.
Now, we know black walnut to be something that would help with parasites. Do you suppose it's just a parasitic?
Well, it's not
only that, but there's iodine, too.
Yeah, there's a huge connection with the iodine deficiency in fibromyalgia.
Right.
And, you know, basically, if you don't have enough iodine in your system, then your lecithin in your bloodstream can emulsify and remove fat-soluble toxins from the blood like lecithin is supposed to do. And those fat-soluble toxins start to be excreted through the skin, which is the largest eliminative organ in the body, and it gets clogged in the skin, and you have these crystalline deposits of toxins that cut nerve tissue and muscle tissue and cause the extreme pain associated with fibromyalgia. Now, the same iodine deficiency that causes the pain is also the iodine deficiency that causes the depression and the dry skin that's associated with it. So I know a popular therapy is the essential fatty acids, omega-3, because they're anti-inflammatory. They won't work by themselves. You have to increase the iodine uptake. In Andrew Bowenstein's book, Iodine, Why You Need It, Why You Can't Live Without It, he's just using high doses of iodine and fish oils and eliminating like 95% of fibromyalgia cases within 3 or 4 weeks.
The iodine was connected, of course, to a thyroid situation, too, because iodine feeds the thyroid. Mm-hmm. The thyroid then turns around and regulates hormones, heartbeat, and if the thyroid is off, then the adrenals will be off, too, because the adrenals will pinch hit for the thyroid, and then you have no energy, and that's where the fatigue comes in.
That's where the chronic fatigue comes in, correct. And, you know, you also look at the women with, and men with fibromyalgia, but primarily women with fibromyalgia, they have the classic symptoms of an iodine deficiency, which is endometriosis, uterine fibroids, fibrocystic breast. And
I heard Frank Meese one time say that the uterus requires the iodine first, and if it's not getting enough, then your thyroid's not going to get it. So
well, the thyroid... In women, 70% of the iodine in the body is found in the thyroid. After that, it's about 20% in the uterus and about 10% in the breast.
Okay.
So and in men, it's about, I think it's 85% is found in the thyroid and 15% is found in the prostate. And so, you know, if you're talking about BPH or prostate cancer, you're talking about an iodine deficiency as well. I've lowered PSA readings just by using black walnut because of its iodine content and also because of the antiparasitic activity, which is common in BPH.
Mm-hmm.
So I think iodine is a huge link with fibromyalgia. It helps increase energy because of the thyroid. It takes the stress off the adrenals. It, you know, saturates the tissue. And it's going to take probably 3 months of high-dosage iodine to saturate tissue and start seeing long-term results. But you feel better within a couple of weeks.
Let's talk about other sources for iodine. There's dolph, which is a type of seaweed, and kelp. So anytime you could get any of those things into your diet, sushi is always wrapped in a silvery black sort of film. That is kelp or seaweed.
Yes. Yeah,
and that is a high source of iodine.
Go to your local Japanese restaurant 3 times a week and eat a seaweed salad. They taste great, and they give you tons of iodine.
Someone was telling me that she buys sheets of seaweed and then puts them in the oven on a roasting pan and serves it to her family instead of chips.
I've never tried that, but that does sound good.
Yeah,
it's naturally salty. Yeah.
And I know my daughter will buy seaweed in sheets like that and just nibble on it instead of any other snack. And it's a very high source of other minerals as well. So it's a great pick-me-up. See, when the thyroid is low, you're going to feel depressed. You're not going to have any energy. Your hair gets brittle. It starts to brush out. You'll start to lose hairs. You might have kind of a balding patch. And dry skin. Women will complain of dry skin, too, and hormones that fluctuate a lot when the thyroid's off. And you might even have that heartbeat that hits hard, and then you miss a few beats, or even go into a false rhythm, or a different rhythm than sinus. And that's all when the thyroid's low.
Right.
And in Ohio, in Michigan, this part of the world, we do not eat foods that have iodine in it, so this is a very common problem through here. Another source of iodine would be parsley, but it's not as high. What else would there be? That's really about it. Seaweed?
Your fish. Fish is a naturally, deep sea fish are naturally high in iodine, but your seaweed is really your best source. And if you can get a liquid form of that, it's best because iodine is water-soluble, and so it concentrates in water, which is why I really like the black walnut ATC concentrate because it's basically 4 doses of black walnut that they boil down in water, and so you get the concentrated iodine from that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So the USDA recommendation for iodine is 150 micrograms a day. Your average woman needs 13.5 milligrams a day, which is 1,000 times more.
1,000 times more than the USDA. That tells you, folks, that the USDA is really the minimum dose necessary to keep you from being very sick. So do not make the mistake of thinking that the USRDA is the maximum. I've had older people especially say they don't, you know, they don't want to take this vitamin with that because they'll go over the USRDA, and they're afraid of that. So,
and,
you know.
Yeah, you know, traditionally they lowered that dosage because the iodine they were studying was causing major problems in people because it was an inorganic source of iodine. And so they lowered it to 150 micrograms, which is the minimum required for maintenance in the body. That was before the advent of bromides and chlorines in our water and food. And so in 1980, they stopped using iodine as a conditioner for dough. Before 1980, every two slices of bread you ate, you had 150 micrograms of iodine. Now, starting in 1980, they used bromine, which means every two slices of bread you eat, you knock out 350 milligrams or 400 milligrams of iodine from the body. So because iodine is the lightest weight of the halogen elements, it's any other halogen group, bromine, chlorine, chloride, all those displace iodine from the body. So you're really just getting bombarded with all these toxic chemicals that are displacing your naturally effective defenses like iodine.
Yeah. And I'd point out that chlorine is obviously in most cities' water. So if you're drinking city water, you need to do something to alter that. And I'd recommend lemon in your water. We just heard a presentation. Someone was talking about using lemon water. And there are whole books written on the value of lemon in the system. But one of the things that it will do is break up fat, and it'll help to clear and flush out the liver again. So we're right back to this could help with this chronic liver condition that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So some lemon water would help to alter the chlorine in your drinking water and help to make it possible for your thyroid to take up the iodine. Another factor in taking up iodine is that your pH needs to be nearly perfect to take it up, which means, again, to alkalize your diet. Lemon is the most alkalizing food, according to one chart that I've got, so that's another good reason to incorporate lemon on a regular basis. Someone was talking this evening about doing a lemon fast and using cayenne lemon and maple syrup in it.
That's the John Christopher formula. That's actually based on Thomsonian medicine, which is what we really emphasize with the Dr. Mom, Dr. Dad class.
Yeah, and he was saying that this one fellow had fasted on that for 45 days, lost weight, was very energized with it.
That's
an extreme use of it. But every once in a while, try a fast with lemon, cayenne, and maple syrup. Do you know the
Try three days a month and see if you don't feel great.
Okay. So it's very energizing. It would be very alkalizing. The cayenne would open the blood vessels right up so that everything gets circulated. Okay,
yeah,
so that's all about the thyroid part of it. I want to mention also that I have had great results with MSM for my own muscles.
Yes.
MSM is sulfur. Do not confuse that with sulfa. That's a drug. Sulfur is a mineral. And this will make you wetter. It acts as a surfactant in the system so that your inflammation will actually be able to flow out. And within about 15 minutes of taking MSM, I find that my muscles are nice and relaxed, and I can move again.
And I think you have to mention the liver fact with that. MSM opens up the sulfation pathway in the liver, which is the largest detoxification pathway. And because we don't get sulfur compounds in our foods, because we don't eat enough garlic and onions, basically, or cruciferous vegetables, we don't get that pathway open. And so that's the pathway that all your pharmaceuticals, all your endotoxins and exotoxins are detoxed through. I mean, it's a huge detox pathway. And so MSM is great for opening that up.
And I'd like to say this. I just heard Carl Fowle speak on Saturday, and he was saying that they used to test drugs, and one of the things they would do would be to give the testee, the victim, a dose of Tylenol because that takes the liver offline and gets it out of the way for the research on other drugs.
Sure.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, that's literally how they do the research. So Tylenol is not a pain reliever that I would ever recommend as long as you want to keep your liver happy.
Right.
Okay.
No, I agree. And your most commonly taken drugs now have such a long half-life. You're looking at an 18-month half-life for the liver to detoxify one dosage of statin drugs. So one dosage of your common cholesterol medication, and it takes the liver 18 months to get rid of it.
Wow. Wow. You know, I speaking of Carl, one of his presentations this Saturday had to do with the depletions that various drugs create in the body. Mm-hmm. And one of the depletions that occurs with the statin drugs is CoQ10 is depleted, which is absolutely essential for the heart to function properly. So here's America taking statin drugs for heart health, and it's actually creating a depletion that makes the heart worse.
Yeah, I read somewhere, it might have been one of Clell's books, that the body needs about 100 milligrams of CoQ10 a day, and the liver produces that. So the statin drugs inhibit the production of CoQ10 in the liver. Now, we're already not getting enough in our diet, where the average American only gets 50 to 75 milligrams. And so you're already 25 to 50 milligrams short on CoQ10, and then you inhibit the production in the liver. And CoQ10 is the enzyme that scavenges free radicals and strengthens heart tissue and keeps your heart from getting gunked up. So statin drugs contribute to heart attacks. That's why, since statin drugs have been introduced, the heart disease has actually went up, not went down.
And so they all rush out and get more statin drugs because we better do something about all this heart problem. We'll be talking about the research that they do with the other topic that you want to get to. But let's keep going here. Now, MSM has been used on racehorses for 25 years. Racehorses are known to be somewhat arthritic, and so if they have stiff knees and they have to run a race, they are given MSM. And then they can loosen up within 15 minutes and run a decent race. Now, it took them until just a few years ago to find out that that also works on human beings. So anytime, any kind of stiffness or muscle ache or anything like that, use MSM. And our bottle, it's one of the big ones. It's like $8 for the bottle. You can use as much as you want. It's safe.
Yes.
Really makes a difference.
Massive doses of MSM have been used to treat all types of inflammatory conditions because it's natural anti-inflammatory by working on that sulfation pathway. Just like garlic is a natural anti-inflammatory. So it's a wonderful product. You know.
I've got to tell you, the best way to take garlic, I heard from a friend, is you peel the cloves, you bite down hard on it, and hold it in your mouth for 15 minutes. Then you chew it up. Now, that's getting it in you.
Yeah, the allicin garlic is activated when the cells of the cell walls of the garlic are broken. And so I normally recommend that if you're going to take raw garlic, you chop it up and let it sit for 10 to 15 minutes to activate the allicin fully before consuming it.
Mm. Well, if you bite down hard on it and hold it in your mouth, you're going to get all the benefit.
Oh, yeah.
You'll breathe all those, you know, up into your sinuses as well. You're holding it for 15 minutes before you chew it up and take it down. And that'll keep anybody with any diseases away from you for a while, so you won't catch any bad diseases, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, what else can we say about MSM? I tell you what, if you've got chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia, you're like me. For a couple of years there, I would look at a task in front of me, and if it involved a lot of physical labor, I'd have to look at my schedule and see if I had anything important to do for the next 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I weeded the garden for an hour, I was down. I couldn't plan to do anything else for 2 days. But I did find that if I used 2 or 3 MSM before I went out and did that job, I could rest and I'd be fine after that.
Yep.
So it's a great way to really get yourself back again. Okay, so what else about fibromyalgia? Oh, liver. Let's go back to that. And one great repair for the liver is milk thistle. Right. And it helps your body to deal with poisons. Okay? Mm-hmm. You want to say anything further about milk thistle?
I like milk thistle, especially as a preventative. If you know you're going to be exposed to toxins, take milk thistle because it binds the toxins and removes them from the liver. And it's great for repair. Milk thistle combination, I think, is a wonderful product from Nature Sunshine. It combines milk thistle with N-acetylcysteine and L3 carbinol. It has all the good liver stuff in it, and it's wonderful for maintenance. You know, they use milk thistle to treat poisoning from the death mushroom. And in America, there's no treatment for it. I mean, if you eat a death cap mushroom, you die pretty much. And one of my teachers, Matthew Wood, had a student that there were lots of reports in Minnesota on, you know, don't go in the woods and pick mushrooms and eat death cap mushrooms. And you know, because it might kill you and all types of stuff. And this lady thought, well, I've been wildcrafting for years. I know what mushrooms are. And she went in the woods and picked some mushrooms and ate them. And one of them was an immature death cap that looked like another type of mushroom. And so she started having the convulsions and the bleeding and called Matthew. And he ran over to her house and was on the way to take her to the hospital. And all he had in his pocket was some milk thistle seed that he had harvested the week before, and so he just had her chew on milk thistle seed, and they got there and they diagnosed her with death cap poisoning and said, sorry, there's nothing we can do, and 45 minutes later she pulled out of it, and she was the first case of survival from ingestion of death cap mushroom reported in the U.S., and it was because of using milk thistle seed. And so
it's fabulous for any kind of food poisoning.
Yeah. Even though the doctors couldn't recommend it to their patients, the nurses started keeping tinctures and milk thistle in their lockers and were able to treat another dozen cases successfully that year.
Wow. But the doctors weren't allowed, because the doctors aren't allowed to talk to you about anything besides drugs and surgery.
Right? This would be a great time for you to go over our disclaimer.
The disclaimer being that you want to pass all this in front of your doctor.
We are not medical doctors. We do not recommend or prescribe remedies. We only do this for educational value.
Yes, that's good. You said that very well. You took me by surprise. Okay, another one that's great for the liver is Sammy. I can't say enough good things about Sammy. But I actually did do an hour-long talk at one point when we were introducing the product. And it's being used in Europe instead of Prozac, Wellbutrin, that whole list of well-being sort of drugs that so many people are on in this country, Paxil, the whole nine yards. They use Sammy instead in Europe because it doesn't have the side effects that those other drugs have. One of the side effects they found that Sammy has is that it will also repair your joints, because it tells glucosamine where to go land.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, it actually strengthens and repairs the liver. Every drug out there damages the liver, but Sammy turns around and repairs it and your knees at the same time that you feel wonderful about everything.
And it's probably the safest long-term sleep aid that I know of. You take Sammy during the daytime, it turns into or helps feed your serotonin pathways. Nighttime helps feed melatonin pathways. You pop a Sammy and a couple of 5-HTPs at night, and you don't have the dependency that occurs with taking straight melatonin. It just boosts the body's natural production. Great for depression, just for the average case of the blues, you know, winter time, can't go outside and get sunlight, seasonal affective disorder. Sammy knocked that out. You know, double-blind placebo-controlled studies, there have been about a dozen done on Sammy for seasonal affective disorder, and all of them have above a 90% cure rate.
Wow. And 5-HTP is the precursor for serotonin and melatonin in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that benefits you. Melatonin is secreted by the pineal gland, and it's the signal for you to sleep, and it will come out naturally about a half an hour after you've been in total darkness. And serotonin comes from the same gland, and it's the wake up, it's morning, let's all have a happy day hormone that comes from the same gland. And serotonin is what is imitated in Wellbutrin, Paxil, that sort of thing. It occurs in St. John's wort, which is why it helps with depression. So if you're going to take St. John's wort, please take it in the morning, because that's when serotonin is supposed to be released.
Right.
Does that make sense?
The class of drugs that they use, they're called SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. The
mm-hmm.
body naturally breaks down serotonin every evening to help you sleep better, and it increases melatonin production. And so these antidepressants that are SSRIs inhibit that breakdown of serotonin to help out with depression. However, it normally causes sleep disorders. And so it's much safer to do 5-HTP and Sammy. And you can do it long-term and never become dependent on it. It makes you feel great. I cannot sing the praises of Sammy enough. It's a wonderful song.
And one of the symptoms of chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia is that you can't sleep. you'll wake up at 4 a.m. worried about stuff, and you can't get to sleep right when you need more rest in your life than you've ever needed before, because you hurt and you're tired, and then you can't get good sleep. So it's really important for somebody who's experiencing this to find a sleep aid that is not going to hurt you. You know, forget about the drugs.
And once again, that goes back to the liver. We know that the liver naturally cleanses itself about 3 o'clock in the afternoon and 3 a.m, which is why you occasionally get fatigued in the afternoon, which is why siestas are wonderful. A small 30-minute nap in the afternoon lets the liver focus on detoxifying the body. So if you go to sleep well but wake up at 3 or 4 a.m, that's your body reacting to all of the toxins that the liver's dumping, which SAMe and 5-HTP help out.
Now, I'd like to, another thought just came to me. Lupus is just one step on down the road from fibromyalgia, and it is also a liver situation. So pay attention if you've been diagnosed with lupus to what we're saying here, because all of this applies.
I agree.
I began to think that I actually had lupus when I had the problem that I did. And it could be, you know, it can be a drug that you're taking or someone around you is taking that is also doing the damage to your liver that's setting you off here. Okay,
yeah,
anything else?
You know, lupus is just one step further along the chain, because you're looking at more chronic inflammation, more deep-seated inflammation. When you let your fibromyalgia go without fixing the underlying causes, you create chronic inflammation, which causes the immune system to go haywire and start attacking the body. So autoimmune disorders are just from chronic inflammation.
There's a couple of other products I'd like to say about this, too, because, you know, I had to learn about them. And I want to say this. It takes 7 times the nourishment to heal a situation as it does to maintain good health. So when you're in this situation, expect to take lots of superfood, which I consider supplements to be. And get as much really good stuff into your system as you possibly can. And just don't worry about how many capsules you're taking. It's just concentrated foodlets. And it's good stuff for you. So, you know, understand that you're going to have to take a lot. I was taking like 84 capsules for breakfast when I was dealing with it. I just plugged my phone in. Okay. So another one that's good for inflammation is good old noni juice.
Yes.
Within about 3 days of starting it, I began to feel less inflamed all over, too. Makes a huge difference, because it puts the correct sugars on the cell walls of the cells to allow the insulin to come in.
Noni is one of the products that the simple sugar compounds from the glyconutrients are concentrated from. Sugar compounds have one... the Nobel Prize in Medicine the past 3 years in a row for helping out with, well, the Nobel Prize has been won in cell communications, and they've used sugars to facilitate that cell communication. So,
now, for the common listener out there, we're not talking about white sugar. We're talking about specific glyconutrient sugars that are required for the cell walls to open easily and allow the nutrients in. They act as keys.
Yeah, then with Noni, you have the high protease content, which on an empty stomach helps to break down plasma proteins in the bloodstream and reduce inflammation. Once again, it's a great anti-inflammatory.
I also was suffering with leaky gut syndrome because I had resorted to painkillers. Now, when you take in an NSAID, you're creating an irritation in the small intestine and in the stomach. And then larger particles of food drift through than ought to. And you have an immune system attack because of the food you just ate that has leaked out into your bloodstream, undigested. And that creates a lot of a mess in this whole situation, too. Okay, so you have to find out if you're allergic to foods and stay the heck away from them until your gut is healed. And one of the ways to heal the gut, and figure on taking about a year to do it, but good essential fatty acids is a major key there. Vitamin E helps because it heals tissue. Use mucilaginous herbs for that, like aloe vera, slippery elm, marshmallow. Flaxseed will also help with that. And just nice, slippery, gooey things that will sort of heal that up. Then you also have to make sure you got your probiotics in there, too.
Right.
Okay.
And one of my favorite combinations for leaky gut syndrome is kudzu St. John's wort. And I love that because the kudzu is so nourishing, it's so calming and soothing, lots of mucilaginous compounds in there, The St. John's wort helps to innervate the nerves in the intestines, get them working again properly. And besides that, the more kudzu that's put in pills, the less there are in my backyard. So really,
I just heard of another one for leaky gut, too. It's L-glutamine.
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 The MSM that we were talking about earlier is great for leaky gut as well.
What is?
The MSM.
Yeah. And that would be one of the reasons why I was so enjoying it when I was, you know, it's wonderful to feel good when you felt as crummy as I did, you know. And I was 43 years old, and I was worse off than most 80-year-olds that I knew. And, you know, that's happening in this country. I know of one couple that came in here, and the woman was taking care of her husband who had heart problems, and her daughter, who was 20, 30 years younger than she was, who had fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm.
And that 80-year-old woman in another generation would have gotten help from her daughter instead of having to take care of her. So, you know, we're having kind of a crumbling of our society around this liver issue that we're running into.
And liver and the stress and adrenals. I mean, look at me in my case. I was 16 mm-hmm. years old and had beginning stages of Addison's disease, liver burnout, because of the chronic caffeine and sugar that I consumed. And
Which is standard for 16-year-olds.
Right. And so licorice root ATC concentrate got me back on my feet, out of bed, more energy in about 3 weeks. And licorice root is another real mucilaginous herb that helps out with leaky gut syndrome. So when you hear us talk about an herb for a specific ailment, know that that same herb or nutrient can be used for 100 different ailments.
In fact, as I got on the phone with Don this evening, he sounded like he was a little hoarse, and I mentioned licorice root for that, too. It's really good for laryngitis.
Mm-hmm.
It just really helps to soothe a laryngitis throat. It's also very good for supporting the adrenals, which are always burned out by the time you get to somebody and say, I'm just so tired I can't see straight. See, that's chronic fatigue, right? Adrenals are part of the issue. So let's talk about how to build up adrenals. First of all, my favorite one for that is mineral chi tonic, because it helps to get the electrical current going in the body, and it's just literally what is necessary to generate energy at the cellular level. You have to have trace minerals. And then the adrenal glands regulate the flow of energy in the body, so you have to have trace minerals to have the materials available. And they have to be digested properly, so food enzymes help with that whole situation as well.
Now, any time I ever recommend mineral chi tonic, I always throw out this personal disclaimer.
What's
that? It tastes absolutely horrible. It tastes to me like somebody took an old shoe and soaked in water.
Or prune juice.
Or prune juice. I mean, it does not taste good, guys. But I found after many years of taking nasty things, if you mix it with a little bit of pineapple juice, it takes the taste away.
Ah, pineapple juice has bromelain in it, and that'll help to digest those minerals, too.
There we go.
What a good idea.
Mm-hmm. And
I
pineapple
like that.
Juice is such a strong flavor juice, it takes the taste of just about anything bad away.
Huh. Okay. Thank you. That's a great hint, because I've got a lot of people who will, you know, take that and they go, I don't want to ever take that again. You
right.
Told me spoiled
now,
stuff.
I also tell people, if you'll take one bottle full, you will not go a day without it, because the first time you run out, you normally don't notice a huge improvement in your feelings with one bottle. But when you run out, you realize that you were feeling better and didn't even know it.
That's
and,
right.
And so if you go 2 or 3 days without it, all of a sudden you're not feeling as good, you're getting stressed more easily, and you want the mineral chi again, and you'll take, you know, as much as you can of it. It's a wonderful supplement, and it's got those adaptogens in there which help the body adapt to change and stress. And change and stress is what stimulates the adrenal glands and helps burn them out. So dealing with stress issues is one of the most important things when you're talking about adrenal glands.
Also, since you brought up stress, B-complex. Extremely important when you're wasted like this, because B vitamins are what restores the nervous system. Your B vitamins are also essential to make insulin, so the pancreas is going to be suffering when you are using up your B vitamins on nervous situations, see? And when the adrenals are down, you're just in an anxious state. It's really paranoid place.
Yeah, as well as the B vitamins are required for phase 2 detoxification in the liver. In fact, a lot of naturopaths now are considering B vitamins to be the number one vitamin complex missing in the modern American diet.
You know, I'm finding that out. I've been reading about cofactors with vitamins, and B complex has to be present for most everything else to work.
Yeah,
it's
If I had to take just two individual compounds, I would go with what all the research is saying now, B vitamins, and as your vitamins that's missing in the standard American diet, and your iodine, which is your mineral that's missing most in the standard American diet. I think those two things in itself would save America so much money on health care.
They would. I'd be hard-pressed to just do two.
Well, yeah, me too. That would be hard for me.
Yeah, and of course iodine would help to protect you from a nuclear fallout, too. Did you know that?
Yeah, it helps protect the thyroid from nuclear fallout, as well as being a natural antiviral, antibacterial. Your thyroid works just like a water treatment plant. Whenever it's got enough good stuff in it, it squirts a little bit of iodine into the bloodstream, which kills off all blood-carried virus and bacteria, just like chlorine kills all that stuff in our water.
Uh-huh.
And so if you're saturated with iodine, you're not going to get sick. That's pretty much all there is to it. It kills cancer cells, kills virals, it does everything.
Kills cancer cells too?
Yes, iodine kills cancer cells. Mm-hmm.
That's good to know.
Iodine kills everything. That's why we put it on topically before we do surgery.
Uh-huh. Well, that is right. That is. We do. There's one other one that I'm thinking of that I worked with for a while, too, and that's IGF-1, which is made from deer antler. They scrape the top of the antler, and that is loaded with growth hormone. So IGF-1 will help your body to repair the tissue. You know, where he was saying those crystals are cutting into muscles, it will help to repair that tissue fast. And I know of several people who have taken care of fibromyalgia just by using that. Have you had any experience with it?
I've had some experience with it. I always combine it with MSM, which is another great tissue repairer. And I generally use it for that severe fibromyalgia combined with really bad chronic fatigue. I've not done enough research on it to use it on a wide variety of cases, and I've not used it myself. It's generally not to be used for people under 40 years old. So there is a caution if you think
you have cancer, you don't want to be promoting growth.
Right, or possibly you don't. You don't want to take it for more than 2 or 3 weeks at a time, generally, without giving your body a break, so it keeps its natural supply of growth hormone up.
And there's one other herb that I took while I had this situation that I really credit my life to, and that's VSC. I had mononucleosis twice, and I'd had my tonsils removed as a child, so I had no defense, and my immune system had taken on herpes virus, you know, more than once. And it can become a chronic problem. It turns into Epstein-Barr virus, which you may they cannot test for and tell you whether you have it or not. But VSC has been shown to take out herpes viruses. I would recommend that if you think you have that, you take the VSC or olive leaf. What else would take it out? Those two I know would. Oh, pawpaw might too, because it fights viruses. So any of those three you take for 4 months straight, because that herpes-type virus will come out of hiding, and then it'll hide again, and you have to have this stuff in your system whenever it emerges.
Okay? I also might throw some Oregon grape on there, both through the antiviral and the liver properties.
Oh, that's good. And alternate those antiviral things, alternate them, because they'll all have different actions, and they'll keep after the virus that's in your system. About 4 months after I started that with all the other things on the liver and so forth, I woke up one day and I didn't hurt, and I could think. Because part of it is the brain fog, too. It had been 2 years. I cried. It had been 2 years since I felt good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually what it took to do it. Any other suggestions on it?
I think we've covered just about everything with fibromyalgia. I mean, definitely focusing on stress reduction in your life. And
as one person said, oh, who am I supposed to have killed first, my husband or the kids?
Right.
There are things you're going to have to cope with in your life, so you have to learn to take the stuff that will help your nervous system deal with it.
Yeah,
and you can take as much B-complex as you want. Just keep pouring it in, you know?
It's water soluble. Yeah, I've had people take 50, 60 capsules a day.
Mm-hmm.
It's Nutricom is another one that falls into that category because it's full of B vitamins, plus it has some nerving herbs in there, which are really beneficial.
And valerian is one of those nerving herbs, and you know that it's the highest source of calcium out there?
Oh, really?
So at the same time you're taking these B vitamins, you're getting calcium, which is another nerve reliever. Mm-hmm. It will help with
that. And I'm sure that, I know that in nature, calcium and magnesium are balanced, so I'm sure that valerian is high in magnesium as well.
Yeah, and I love valerian as a sleep aid, too. It relaxes me. So I think that's probably why it's high in calcium and magnesium from a natural source, and my body goes away, and I can sleep really well with that. So that's another one. Okay, do you want to talk about what you're going to talk about this weekend in Birmingham?
Yeah, I'll cover a little bit brief.
We just got a few minutes
so
now,
me,
sorry.
This off the top of my head.
Okay, go.
Okay. The HPV virus is the human papilloma virus, and there are about 62 different strands of the HPV virus. About four of them have been linked to cervical cancer, and two have been linked to genital herpes, to genital warts. So for the past 4 years, Merck Pharmaceutical has been working on a vaccine for this. Now, let's briefly talk about vaccines as a whole. Number one, they don't work, okay? No vaccine that's ever been created actually works. At the same time vaccines were created was when we started having more sanitary conditions in our major cities, and that, according to many professionals, is the cause why most of the major diseases went away, not the vaccines. The vaccines have massive amounts of weak or dead viruses in them, and it's supposed to create an immune response in the system so the body builds up immunity to it. The problem with that is that it only builds up one part of the immune system, one part of the antibody called antibody A, and it leaves antibody B. So if you're re-exposed to something that you've already taken a vaccine for and the body catches it, there's no cure for it because the body cannot overcome it because it will not produce antibody B by itself. It has to produce both antibody A and antibody B. So vaccines as a whole, I think, are ineffective. I mean, they're a cheap ripoff of homeopathy, basically. In fact, the guy that invented vaccines was the father of homeopathy, and his name was Hahnemann, and this is back in the 1830s and 40s. He was a medical doctor. He was working with immunizations and creating immunization for TB, and the medical doctors wouldn't fund him, so he went to a homeopathic school, which had a lab, which he created and used extremely small, minute doses, basically non-existent doses, just the energy pattern left from the bacteria to create what medical doctors then perverted and turned into modern vaccines. So
what they did was basically overload the vaccination to the point where you got pus in there from horses, and it's just more than the immune system needs to handle.
Right.
Some of these vaccinations in childhood are 17 different things at one time, including the Black Plague.
Yes.
It's just way more than the immune system can deal with. Go ahead.
Yes, so that's the history behind vaccines. I don't agree with them overall. Now, the HPV vaccine has a couple of nasty things that go along with it. Number one, in Texas, the governor mandated that all 12-year-old girls entering school had to have the HPV vaccine. It was later found out that his ex-chief of staff was on the pharmaceutical board of Merck and was getting benefits off of the governor, you know, insisting that all the girls in his state get this vaccine. So there's been a big controversy over this because of, you know, the government trying to restrict your own moralities and increase in premarital sex and stuff like that. All those issues aside, it's a silly concept to think that a vaccine is going to protect you against something like that.
Vaccine is supposed to protect us from cervical cancer.
Right, right. Well, that's why we've renamed the vaccine, instead of being the human papillomavirus vaccine, we've renamed it the Helping Pay for Vioxx vaccine. So Merck has only got right at 4 years of research behind the HPV vaccine right now. And ta-da, that's about the time that they started taking a huge hit on Vioxx. So they're really pushing it hard and trying to make money off of it. Your average vaccine has 10 to 15 years of research behind it. I mean, it's just, this is the wrong direction to go.
Well, and it's just unimaginable to me that we would expose all of our 12-year-old girls to a vaccination, not knowing what it's going to do to them by the time they turn 60.
Right.
You know, we have no clue what the long-term effects are. How could they?
And then we have to look at the holistic viewpoint of this. I mean, we're basically treating vaccines just like we have antibiotics and just like we have cancer therapy. Louis Pasteur, that discovered bacteria, on his deathbed repented and said, "These stupid people, it's not the bacteria, it's the terrain."
In other words.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Your time's limited. You go ahead.
Flies are attracted to a pile of garbage. They did not cause that pile of garbage to be there. It's not the fly's fault. Okay? Bacteria are attracted to unhealthy bodies. It's not the bacteria's fault. They're doing their job. They're decomposing weak and dying cells. And they do that by infection, and all of a sudden we think that bacteria and viruses and cancer, they're bad. They're not. They're doing what nature intended them to do. Okay? So we have to look at the biological terrain or the environment in which all the cells of our body are bathed. All the cells of our body are bathed in lymphatic fluid, and the quality of that lymphatic fluid, the oxygen quality, the nutrient quality, how fast it gets rid of toxins, all of this makes up your biological terrain, and that's what Pasteur was talking about. So we're treating the HPV virus just like we have unsuccessfully treated bacteria and cancer over the past 80 years. And it's a mindset that's wrong. It's trying to punish the body into submission, and the body just doesn't work like that. You know, in 1998, a study, number one, the HPV virus, the human immune system gets rid of in 2 to 3 years in like 95-96% of women. So the body's going to fight it off naturally. And if it doesn't, it's because the vaginal tissue is saturated with excess estrogen, which is why in 1998 in the American Journal of Gynecology, they showed that indole-3-carbinol corrects the biological terrain of the vaginal tissue and gets rid of the excess estrogen, which makes an inhospitable area for the HPV virus to live, and therefore gets rid of it.
So indole-3-carbinol would be a better approach.
Indole-3-carbinol is a marvelous approach for HPV because
it works. Isn't indole-3-carbinol available in cruciferous vegetables? Am I correct on it?
That's what it's extracted from. All cruciferous vegetables, Brussels sprouts, are super high in indole-3-carbinol.
And that would also be Brussels sprouts, broccoli, cauliflower, and cabbage.
Cabbage. Mm-hmm.
All right. Kale's in there, too, I think. Okay.
Kale's in there.
So all
of
those vegetables would help.
Your southern vegetables, your turnips and collards are also very high in that.
Well, and those also have to prevent colon cancer. So understand the cruciferous vegetables are your cancer prevention. All of them.
They do that by opening up the pathway in the liver that gets rid of excess estrogen from the body. And estrogen dominance and xenoestrogens are the number one cause of preventable cancer in the world. I mean, they cause breast cancer, uterine cancer, and prostate cancer. The research is there. It's been done. We know this. We know that indole-3-carbinol helps get rid of that. There's a new extract of indole-3-carbinol called DIM3, which is working even better than indole-3-carbinol. You know, we know that garlic and onions and SAMe and MSM and indole-3-carbinol and DIM3 all get rid of excess estrogen from the body, which is what's causing cancer and including cervical cancer,
and
takes advantage of a bad situation. It's not its fault.
And what do we give girls from the time they start having periods? You know, birth control tablets with estrogen in it. When you become menopausal, you get your HRT, which is Premarin, which is, again, estrogen. We're being loaded up with estrogen. We get plenty of it in our meats, including chicken breast, because Tyson wants a nice big chicken breast, so they inject estrogen into the chickens that you're going to eat too. So we get way more estrogen in our diet and in the treatment of females in this country. There was a Premarin study that was done 4 or 5 years ago? They stopped the study. It was supposed to be a long-term one. But they were getting more heart disease and cancer in the study group, and they declared it too dangerous to even keep studying it. And yet we still are giving women Premarin.
Right.
Because they have nothing else to give us for the hot flashes, you know. Progesterone cream, by the way, ladies, in case you want to know the answer to that. Progesterone cream does the opposite of what estrogen does in the body as far as creating cancer. So progesterone, this N3-carbinol, eat your vegetables. Okay, go on.
I had a medical doctor. He taught at a medical university in Atlanta, Georgia, taught a class one time. And he said, okay, guys, this is a one-day class in modern gynecology, and I'm going to all give you honorary degrees when we get through. He said, here we go, and we'll go into a little bit more detail, but this is it. If a girl comes in and she started her period and she's having problems, you put her on birth control. That happens from puberty to 38. From 38 to 45, if she comes in and she's having problems, you put her on birth control and an antidepressant. From 45 on up, you put her on an antidepressant and hormone replacement therapy. He said, congratulations, you've graduated. That's all I do all day long.
That's all he does.
Yeah, or that's all he did do before he found out about natural things.
Yeah. So now we're going to use Sammy progesterone cream, wild yam instead.
Yep.
Okay.
Works for me.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
And I'm afraid we're out of time. I really enjoyed tonight, Thomas.
Yeah.
Give folks your email address.
My email address is tmeasley, EASLEY, @hotmail.com.
And you will be in Birmingham.
I will be in Birmingham Saturday, yes.
You want to give details on that?
Details, I would give them to you. Just send me an email, and I can correspond with you and get you directions to that if you're interested. It'll be an all-day event lasting from, I think, 9 in the morning to 5 in the evening, and there's a number of great speakers.
And my email is ngingrich, G-I-N-G-E-R-I-C-H, @cinci.rr.com. I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening. And thank you, Thomas. I always learn so much from you.
It really rounds out
what we're doing with people. Thank you. And good luck with your tornadoes down there.
Thanks so much. Have a great night.
All right. You too. Bye.